This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With me, Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, bro.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer, and I am so excited to sit down for a little solo catch-up today. We've had some great guests on the show the last couple episodes. Ariana, of course, on Monday, and then Dr. Jackie on yesterday's episode. If you haven't listened to either of those, I highly recommend them. I mean, I'm aware that I'm biased, but I specifically had such a lovely time talking to Dr. Jackie. I think she is just one of a kind, especially on Bravo. The experience that she has doing 10 seasons on Married to Medicine while also still actively working as an OBGYN and doing all of the activism work that she does is just so cool. And so even if you're not like fully caught up on Married to Medicine, I think that is, she's just such a fascinating person to talk to. Also, we sit down to record. It was like 10 a.m. on Tuesday. And she's like, I'm like, oh, like, how are you doing? She's like, oh, well, you know, I'm tired. I had 7 babies this weekend before I left for New York. Like, okay, I think there is like a tendency to assume that when women come on these shows and have like real jobs like that, that they sort of stop doing them. It's like, oh yeah, okay, you're like a lawyer, but you're not really a lawyer. Or like you're a doctor, but like how real is that? Jackie and Simone are like delivering babies constantly. And then they're showing up to film, and then they're showing up to do press. Like, I don't know. It's wild to me because I have, you know, this one job. I'm sitting on a microphone talking about Housewives and I'm tired already. And so the thought that I would have to like record my podcast, then get up and go deliver a baby. I mean, first of all, it wouldn't go well because I don't know anything about medicine, but God, just so impressive. I love impressive people. And, you know, I know that I'm very fortunate in my situation that this is what I get to talk about. But wow, just fun times. And speaking of Ariana, we got the trailer for Vanderpump Rules season 11. It's coming January 30th. And I'm so glad that we now have something to talk about. Because for the last, I don't know, 9 months now since Scandoval started, it's kind of been like this ball that's been rolling down the hill, and it felt like it was sort of starting to get a little bit tired. And that's why when I talked to Ariana last week, it didn't feel like productive to kind of ask her the same 5 questions of like, what's happening with the house? How much do you hate Tom? Are you listening to Raquel's podcast? It's like, no. Like, it was tough because there just wasn't really like new info to work with. And so seeing this trailer, I was so relieved that this wasn't just a full Scandoval rehash trailer. Because I think with this group, obviously there's more to the group than just Tom and Ariana and their dynamic with each other. But when they went back into filming season 11 so quickly after the reunion and stuff, I think there was kind of that fear that it would sort of just dominate the narrative of the new season. And, you know, getting the reveal of Schwartz making out with Sheena, the gasp I gasped. This could turn out to be like such a nothing burger. Obviously, there are, you know, editing maneuvers at play when you see a trailer like this. But just to hear those words come out of Schwartz's mouth, I never even considered that this is something that could have happened. And then, you know, we have Tom and Katie making out with the same woman that I'm fascinated by. I'm excited for whatever journey Katie's on. I don't know, you know, maybe she and Kyle Richards can compare notes. Allegedly. I don't know. No, but I think it's going to be an interesting season, and I don't feel, I'm not sure that it's going to be an incredible season or like an amazing season, but I'm interested to see kind of what it's giving. What I'm even more excited for, though, is season 2 of The Traitors. Ugh. I'm so excited. We got the trailer today, literally like minutes before I was sitting down to record, and I was so glad that it came out, you know, when it did, because this show, God, I can't wait for it to be back. Season 2, I think I talked about the cast list when it came out a few months ago, but it's all celebrities and reality stars this season instead of doing like half civilians, half veterans like it was last year. So on the Bravo side of things, we've got Sheree, Tamra, Phaedra, MJ from Shaws of Sunset, Larsa and Marcus, of course. Marcus apparently just, I don't know, is it like, does Larsa just have like a Marcus clause in all of her contracts now where it's like he has to be able to come anywhere? On Miami last week when they're planning the girls' trip to Palm Beach, and she's like, well, could I bring Marcus? And, you know, like, I like to have him wherever I go. It's like, babe, you're driving 2 hours away for 2 nights. And everybody's sharing a bed. That Palm Beach house does not look large enough for the 9 women that are there, let alone plus ones. They're all sharing beds. We know because Alexia had to ask permission to share with Julia. This is switching gears a little bit, but I'm dreading when Julia brings that up with Alexia, because I just know that conversation's not going to go well. Alexia's going to act so offended. I get why Julia's weirded out by it. Oh God, it's nothing good can come of that. But I guess I'm glad that they're mentioning it all. But no, this Traitors trailer looks great. We have Phaedra saying that she's not going to kiss Pilot Pete's ass for a rose because it's not The Bachelor. God, what a way with words she has. I'm so excited, though, because I think last season, the format was really exciting. It felt like the kind of, like, kitschiness of it, like the shtick of being in the Scottish castle. It felt like people kind of leaned into it in a way that was fun. And I'm excited to see kind of how this cast embraces it. I mean, it's not even just the Bravo people. We have Parvati and Sandra, Survivor Legends. Johnny Bananas is on there, Janelle from Big Brother, like Ekansu from Love Island UK. There's like a whole Trishelle from The Challenge. It really is a wild cast, and so I'm very excited to see. But I think the thing that I am most excited about is that I don't know if you remember, but last season when The Traitors came out, they dumped all of the episodes at the same time. And that's fun sometimes, but with a show like this, when every episode is a cliffhanger and you've got twists and turns and people being sent home and votes happening, it's really hard to drop a whole season at once because, I mean, for me, I don't know how quickly to watch and recap and post about it. It's so hard to go on social media and avoid spoilers. It's like, technically, you know who the winner is the second the show drops. And it just really, it makes it hard to sort of create a cohesive conversation around it. And so this season, they're dropping the first 3 episodes on Friday, January 12th. And then after that, the episodes are going to be weekly on Thursdays at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Thank God for this. It's common sense. It's going to be great. Alan Cumming is hosting again. I can't wait to talk about The Traitors season 2. And I'll have to see kind of like how people are watching it. If it's like a weekly recap kind of vibe, or if we just kind of like check in a couple times throughout the season. But let me know if you want in a 5-star review, how excited you are for The Traitors. I feel like we've all had that moment where you're at somebody's wedding and you're looking around the food, the venue, the music, the overall vibe, and you're making like that mental checklist of, if I were planning a wedding right now, maybe you are, maybe you aren't, what would I want to copy from this? What would I want to change? What would I want to tweak? Well, I've been a part of my fair share of weddings over the years, and I know just how stressful the process can be. You go from that newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. But using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish and makes every decision easier so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake, Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and even maybe enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want with tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preference. Every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I Do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Summer is fast approaching, which means more social events, more weddings to attend, more nights on the town, and hopefully more vacations. That's why I'm so thankful for today's sponsor, Honeylove, for covering us with the best shapewear. With Honeylove, you can feel your best even when you're wearing less. They've revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. Plus, they're the only shapewear that won't ever roll down, no matter how much you groove on the dance floor. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling Superpower Short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. The Superpower Short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. The summer vibes are just getting started, honeys. Shape your life with Honeylove.
But speaking of Peacock shows, today, the first 3 episodes of Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip Roni Legacy are on Peacock. I'm going to talk about those on Monday. So I'm going to give us all the weekend to get caught up. And then we will get into it on Monday, along with Potomac and whatever else is happening. But I do want to just talk about the premiere party, which was in New York on Tuesday night of this week. It was a lively affair. It kind of felt like a Bravo holiday party. Whereas like everybody was, you know, New York City, we were right across the street from Bryant Park, where there's a big Christmas market and ice skating rink and, you know, big tree and all of that. So it felt very festive, I guess. But the big question that I had, and I think a lot of people had going into this party, was, will we be seeing Madam Singer? Because Ramona, the last couple months, has been pretty quiet since she got the last minute uninvitation from BravoCon. She has not been sent out on any official press for the show, I believe. She's, you know, been posting on her own social media, but we haven't really gotten much news on the Ramona front. You know, she's still on the poster for the season. She's still in the trailer. It's not like they're not editing her out like we've had a couple times in the past, like on Below Deck, where they edited out a deckhand. I mean, it's a trip with 6 women. You could maybe clip out a couple of her confessionals or something, but you're not going to make it seem like she wasn't there. So, you know, when I got the invite to this party, I'm thinking, okay, does Ramona get the invite? And I heard whisperings leading up to the party that she was not expected to be in attendance. I don't know if she was officially not invited or if it was a just sort of discussion that happened that maybe it would be better if she's not there. I don't know. I wasn't in the room. But you know what room I was in? The party. And you know who else was in the room? Ramona Singer. So I walk in, and the way that this venue is set up, I don't know if it's like a hotel or just an event. I, to be honest, I don't know where we were. But you walk in, and then the main party space was up a flight of stairs. It was like a big sweeping staircase, and they had Roni quotes along the wall. It was nice. But so the coat check is downstairs, and then when you walk in downstairs, the red carpet was kind of on the far end, but it was a little bit secluded, and no, we weren't walking the carpet. Like, the only people really walking the carpet were the cast and then a few other, like, Cerie Fields showed up, you know, legend of Survivor and now Big Brother and winner of season one of The Traitors, which is why I think she actually was invited to the party. By the way, I was more starstruck to see Cerie than I have been for any housewife. But so the red carpet was like not really super visible to like the attendees of the party. But when I walk in, the first person I see is Ramona Singer. She was like, I guess she was doing the coat check. I don't know. But it was like, that set the tone for the whole night. It was like, okay, so this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. This is what we're doing. Ramona's here. She's, get used to it. So then upstairs where the party is, it was one big open space. It was pretty crowded. You know, it was a good, everybody was mingling, having a good time. Like I said, the atmosphere was festive and the cast was sort of in and out. There was like another flight of stairs up and there must've been an area up there where they were kind of like hanging out because it was blocked off, but they would come down the stairs to mingle, to take pictures. I saw Dorinda. She looked lovely. Kelly Bensimone was wearing a horse girl necklace, which just tickles me. But at a certain point, the full cast came together to take photos. You know, everybody crowds around and is, you know, taking pictures of them. And then they sang happy birthday to Dorinda because her birthday was, I think, the next day. My favorite thing, they sing happy birthday and there is this massive cake in the middle that is in the shape of an apple and it's covered in gold fondant, like shiny metallic gold fondant. And when I say in the shape of an apple, it's not like, oh, they like, you know, drew some apples on a cake. It's like, no, this is a like a 3D representation of a spray painted gold apple. And it was probably maybe like double the size of a basketball. I don't know what ball I can compare it to that's larger than a basketball. It was a big ass apple cake. And so when they're singing happy birthday to Dorinda, they had like a couple of knives, I guess. And so Dorinda like cut the cake, but not really. And so by the end of the night, nobody had still eaten the cake. It had never been cut into slices or anything. There were just these like hacking knife, like hack knife marks in the cake. And it was just like, what is this? It was a great party. It was so much fun, but I'm just like imagining somebody was like, oh my God, you know what'll be like incredible for this party? We're going to have this massive apple cake and then they're going to cut it. But it was like, I don't know if it was even meant to be eaten, but it never was. It was just, oh God. Margaret Josephs was there for like 2 minutes. Just a fun little mishmash. But anyway, that's Real Housewives Ultimate Girls Trip. I will be talking about the first 3 episodes on Monday, so definitely make sure to stay tuned for that. I'm just as excited as all of you are to see what kind of chaos that trip is giving. But today, let's talk about Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We are a week removed from Kyle's Dinner Party from Hell Part 3. This week, a little bit more of a subdued episode. You know, we got some important things to talk through, but there was no kind of wild moment, except maybe in the first 30 seconds or so of the episode, because we come in, and we're at Kyle's house. And Kyle is filling in Mauricio on what has happened at this dinner. about how Sutton is asking all these questions and about the ring and about the whatever. And he's like, oh, baby, you know, whatever. They can say what they want to say. And then as they like finish up their little update, Kyle's about to walk past Mauricio and he grabs her and he plants a kiss on her. And I have never felt so uncomfortable in my life? Question mark. Guys, what the fuck is this kiss? Like, I have seen on like Breaking Amish or never, whatever, children, people who have grown up in oppressive religious communities and never been allowed to hold a hand, and they're kissing for the first time on their wedding day, and they look more comfortable than Kyle and Mauricio trying to be intimate. And Mauricio's like, I can kiss you whenever I want. What is that? I get that they're not in the best place in their relationship. Sure. But like, you guys have been married for 27 years? What was that? It's wild how Kyle and Mauricio used to be like the horniest couple on Bravo. Like that's like mom and dad were in love. And now like, it ain't good. It was so bizarre. Cause I'm like, it's one thing if they're not like, you know, doing amazing, but like that was like a casual little kiss. And Kyle looks like she just saw a ghost. The ghost of husband's past, I guess. I don't know. Compare that later to Kyle FaceTiming Morgan. And Kyle's like, well, you know, like, Morgan is so different from any of my other friends because I know when I hang out with Morgan, I'm just going to be roasted 24/7 and we're going to be talking about my jewelry and my tattoos and my rings and my, you know, she's going to talk about my outfit and all of this stuff. And I'm like, oh, God. Oh, the mid-season trailer where they're at like Morgan's performance and she's like, well, you know, there's never been anybody who's been there for me like Kyle. And Kyle just looks kind of like, This becomes stranger and stranger every week. And look, I'm not saying Sutton went about it the best way by saying she was in denial and, you know, whatever. But I've got questions too. Well, we'll see where that goes. You know, put a pin in it. Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three-beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Sutton is having her 4-year store anniversary party. I'm happy for her, you know. She says that it's a business that she started all on her own, not using anybody else's money. Okay. I love the confessional producers. Like, wait, so like to start the business and like to keep it open, like, have you used your spousal support money? And she's like, well, yeah, of course. Look, I don't know. I can't relate. And I'm assuming most people listening can't relate to getting like tens of thousands of dollars a month in spousal support. So I think if you're in that position, you kind of just see things a little differently. But, you know, good for Sutton. Comparing that, at least I feel like she knows her limits, and she knows she is secure in her situation. Compare that to Lisa Hochstein on Miami. Seeing her last week touring that condo that's like $6 million. And the HOA alone is like $4,000 a month. And then this week at the very end of the episode, when Lisa is at her fragrance testing appointment, whatever, with Nicole and Adriana, and the rest of the women are at playing croquet, and Marisol's Google alert about Lenny goes off, which the juxtaposition of Marisol in the car on the way to Palm Beach telling Lisa that she needs to stop talking about Lenny and get over it and move on, and, you know, Jody's going to leave her and XYZ, to then Marisol saying that she has a Google alert for Lenny and Lisa. Is she being hypocritical? I don't know. Is she being both sidesy a little bit? I would say yes. But Lenny's allegation that Lisa is spending $10,000 a month on Instacart. Like, Instacart is so boring. I mean, it's a great service. It's very good for what it's good for. But like, Instacart is not Saks Fifth Avenue. Instacart is not like how fun can you really get on Instacart? You're not buying clothes on there. You're not buying bags and shoes and, you know, furniture and entertainment items and tickets to things. It's like you're literally groceries. And as Larsa points out, Sephora is on Instacart. Larsa putting two and two together that Lisa might be racking up her Instacart bill with purchases from Sephora. Larsa can be a little bit smart when she wants to. Look, she might be as willfully ignorant as can be when it comes to why she shouldn't have told everyone that Gertie had cancer. But when it comes to how Lisa might be spending five figures a month on Instacart, her detective skills go right to work. But yeah, I mean, it's tough because last season it felt like the Lisa and Lenny stuff was, rightfully so, the biggest storyline happening. And I know that in Lisa's life, it still is happening, and in many ways is just as intense as it was last year, because there is this continuing thread of, there's going to be a legal filing. Somebody's going to call the police. I don't know what's going to happen with the house and with the custody and all of his mother and all of that. But from a friendship standpoint, and I mean, for us, from a enjoying watching a TV show standpoint, we can't do the same storyline all the time, every time. So it's tough because you know, like, compare that. This week, we found out that Kenya Moore's divorce was finalized. It took like 3 years for her to get that divorce. And did we get updates sometimes? Yeah. Andy would ask her at the reunion. You know, somebody would bring it up. She's starting to think about dating. Like, it's not that it wasn't something we ever heard about. But I think if Kenya had, on every episode of Real Housewives of Atlanta for the last two seasons, had been like, well, you know, there's another court filing with Mark, blah, 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 blah. Like, it would have gotten old so fast. And I think with Lisa, it's not that people can't empathize with what she's going with and, you know, think about that she still is dealing with a lot, but that it doesn't need to be the active topic of conversation every time the group is together. And I think that's valid. I mean, for people in the position to spend all this time with her and to be going on trips and stuff, like, everybody's going through something. Everybody's, you know, working through their stuff. And it's tough when you have a friend who's in a position like that, because you want to be there for them. You want to be supportive. But at the same time, it's like, I don't think we can keep going on this loop. In the same way that Larsa, for example, is not being a good friend to Kiki this season and is kind of abandoning her for her relationship, I think that Lisa is going to need to figure out how to balance everything that's happening in her personal life with what her friends in the group need from her or what they have going on. And I think we're starting to see that sort of breakdown even between people that she's closer with in the group, that it's like, Larsa is not just going to sit there and talk about Lenny all day. Kiki's not just going to sit there and talk about Lenny all day. You know, Marisol's brought it up. Alexia has brought it up. Like, it feels like we're kind of reaching that point where it's like, we're going to have to move to the next phase of this, even if it's not over in her personal life. I don't know, though. It's interesting. And it's also really interesting to see Alexia kind of breaking off from Marisol a little bit at the first dinner in Palm Beach when she's talking about how, you know, she brings things up and then doesn't always kind of stick around to take the heat. And, you know, that kind of thread, that sort of the issues that other people have been having with Marisol, and that it seems like Alexia is starting to be affected by it a little bit more. And specifically, I think because Alexia has been able this season to sort of create a path forward with Julia, and more importantly with Adriana, whereas Marisol has stayed so rigid in her feelings about Adriana in particular, that isn't going to just work in perpetuity to keep people on your team versus the other. Like, the reason that shows like this are able to sort of last and evolve and grow and shift is that you really can't afford to have too many of these dynamics that are so set in stone where people just won't speak to each other. And I think that's something I interviewed Dr. Wendy earlier this week, and that episode is going to be coming out. And I think that's something that Potomac is sort of struggling with right now, is that there are these relationships that feel so toxic and broken, and you have to be able to create that forward momentum within the group. And I think Marisol feels like she's kind of stopping that from happening in a way. But that's Miami. I'm really enjoying it. I think, you know, there's a lot of loose ends that I'm looking forward to seeing how they tie up in sort of the second half of this season. Going back to Beverly Hills a little bit, I want to talk about Anna Marie. I think I've settled on Anna Marie. I know I've been waffling on the pronunciation, but it seems like Anna Marie is what we're going with. So we see her at home for the first time, I believe, this episode. And we meet her husband, Marcellus, and her kids. She has a lovely family. And she's talking to us about the beginnings of her relationship with her husband. And I just want to know if she thinks that she's making this sound like a fairy tale situation. Because the way she describes it, she's like, well, back when I got with my husband, you know, there were lots of women who were trying to get with him. He used to be a football player. And she's like, you know, the first night we met, he said he was going to marry me. And then that was how he, you know, handled things moving from there. And he always says that he married me because I am an 8.5 in everything. So it's like, you're not a 10 in looks, you're not a 10 in brains, you're not a 10 in cooking and doing stuff around the house, but you're like solid in all the categories. What the fuck? Okay, first of all, it's great to be like competent in a lot of things, but the idea that somebody who is romantically interested in you would be like, you know what I actually love about you is that you're not super pretty and you're not super smart and you're not like a super good cook, but like 3 stars at least in every category. Passable, passable. Ew. Look, I'm trying to give these people a chance, but every episode that Anna Marie has been in so far, I just don't get a great taste in my mouth. And also, the way that she is obsessed with Sutton's medical situation, it's just weird. Because I understand, maybe what Sutton is saying doesn't seem like it's adding up 100%. And obviously, Anna Marie has a medical background. She's a nurse anesthetist. She like may have an awareness that causes her to question Sutton. But when push comes to shove, you don't know this woman. Sutton says it in the episode. They met, I believe, for the first time at Kyle's dinner. So this is at most like the third time they're hanging out. And it's all in a group setting. And so the fact that Anna Marie is like so hellbent on like, no, what you're saying is wrong. And Sutton's like, well, my doctor told me. And she's like, but it's wrong. Get a life. This is always, to me, there are certain topics and conversations on shows like this. They're never going to like go the way that you want them to. And I think questioning somebody's medical situation when they're telling you that they're under the care of a doctor and following the care that their doctor has told them to do, it's like it's just kind of never doing what you think it's doing. Like, just drop it. Find something better to be mad at her about. I do love seeing Kim at the party, though Sutton does clock the agenda right away of Kyle wanting to make it clear that she has not, in fact, lost 2 sisters. Then Sutton gives this awkward speech about women not labeling each other and, you know, doing what they want to do. And it does feel like... I don't know exactly what's going on with Sutton. Like, it's like, okay, good for you that the store is going well, but I feel like she's in a little bit of a weird place. And maybe she always is. Like, maybe that's kind of the constant in Sutton's life. But when she's, you know, asking Kyle for permission to have a drink and, you know, it's just kind of like, I don't know. I like Sutton a lot on Housewives. I think she's an important piece of this cast, but I don't think she's... I'm not loving her this season a lot. Like, the whole thing in Vegas still, going back to the Magic Mike thing, like, just feels like she's a little bit off. And I don't know exactly where it's coming from. I don't think it's, like, a drinking thing particularly, but it's a little strange. And then telling Dorit that she's been talking about her behind her back and she heard from Crystal, and then Crystal and Dorit have to have their whole thing. I don't really know what Sutton's up to, you know, but I like her more than Anna Marie. And, you know, maybe that's all we need at this point. But anyway, thank you so much for listening. That's our show for this week. I'll be back on Monday to talk about Girls Trip, Potomac, so much more. Until next time, don't forget to rate, review, and follow the show wherever you listen, and be cool. Don't be all like uncool. Mention It All is produced by Dylan Hafer, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Dylan Hafer and Ali Friedlander. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter. Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart, or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Betches.